Right now, milk prices have been at record lows for some years now, and for farmers, that's raising questions about the way we price milk. One alternative that's gotten some attention is the Canadian model of supply management. Mark Stevenson is a dairy policy analyst and the director of the UW Center for Dairy Profitability. He's written about issues with the American system for milk pricing. He joins us now in our studio. Mark, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, and happy to be here.
Well, let's talk about how we got here. You wrote in a piece for WisContext not too long ago that just a few years ago, dairy farmers had really high prices for milk. How do we get from there to here?
Well, those record high prices probably were the high prices of a generation, in my opinion. And when we get market prices like that, it's a market that's telling us we want more of your product. And so farmers have both the incentive and the wherewithal to produce more. And since we have roughly 40,000 dairy farmers in the country, they all receive that signal at the same time. They make decisions about producing milk, and sometimes we do overproduce.
And a tricky thing here has got to be timing, because if I'm a dairy farmer and the prices are high, it's not like I can turn a spigot and produce more starting tomorrow. Everybody has to make those decisions, and those decisions all kick in over a period of time after those prices may have gone down.
Well, they certainly do. I mean, there are a few things you can do in the short term to change milk production decisions. You can maybe keep a few more cows than you otherwise would have, or you can feed them a little bit harder to get more milk. But honestly, in the long term, the only thing to really do is to think about expanding your operation, maybe putting a few more cows on. That's a multi-year decision. That doesn't happen overnight.
Talk about the state of milk supply right now. Where are we?
You know, actually, we aren't that bad in terms of total milk production. We've been increasing somewhere around 1% per year. And that is not an unusual increase for us, and it keeps up with our domestic demand growth. One of the real problems that we've had is that we entered the world export markets in a fairly big way, maybe 12, 15 years ago. When that happened, we've now got customers overseas, and those are a little bit more erratic than our domestic customers are.
So it's a matter of supply is gradually going up, but demand is bouncing?
It fluctuates, and occasionally, you know, we have supply that will take surges or crashes. A few years ago, you might remember a big snowstorm in the Southwest. They named that storm Goliath, and there were some 30,000 cows that were killed overnight. And so that kind of thing can have a minor short-term impact on supplies.
Now talk about dairy farms in Wisconsin over this last year or two. We keep hearing stories, a farm closing every day or more than a farm, farm and a half every day. What is the state of dairy farming in Wisconsin now?
You know, you mentioned, I think, when we first started that we're in record low dairy prices. And, of course, they aren't actually record low. They are low relative right to where we've been. But the real problem that we've had is the persistence of these low prices. And usually we've had a low that plunged deep and it was relatively short, and a year, year and a half later, we were back at more normal prices. This time we're entering our fourth year of low prices, and farms have just exhausted the kind of reserve money or short-term input costs that they actually normally keep on hand, and they're starting to borrow from equity. So it's difficult for dairy farms.
So why are prices staying that low for so long?
Part of it has been our exports. I mentioned earlier, we had been low on the volume of milk that we've been exporting here for a few years' time period, and that was in some ways due to our competitors overseas. The European Union produced a lot more milk and dairy products the last few years, and that's displaced some of the sales opportunities we would have had. So when those products stay here on shore in our domestic markets, they begin to build up stocks of storable dairy products like cheese and butter, milk powders. And when that happens, ultimately prices have to be pushed down. And that's what we've been seeing.
In the tariff and trade stories we've been hearing lately, Canada's been accused of tariffs, at least on some dairy products from the United States. How big a part of the story of milk prices in the U.S. Is that kind of issue? Tariffs, protectionism, that kind of thing?
You know, I may sound different than some of the other guests you could have on the show, but it's not been a huge impact at this point in time, but it could be. Canada has had high tariffs for a long period of time to protect a milk pricing system that's quite a bit different from our own. And they chose to change their milk pricing policy about a year ago or so to protect themselves from additional product that was starting to come in from the United States. And that's when we, the dairy industry, took offense at that.
Talking to Mark Stevenson, director of the UW Center for Dairy Profitability, long-term low milk prices are hurting farmers in Wisconsin and around the country. Mark, we've heard people talk about that Canadian system both as kind of the enemy here, but also as maybe a model, some people are saying, for the unstable, the big fluctuations in prices. How does that work in Canada?
Well, in Canada, back in the mid-1960s, they were seeing persistently low prices and felt that they really needed to do something different. So they began to think about what could we do. And dairy farmers did get together and they made some decisions. And with the support of the government, we're able to put together a program that restricts the amount of milk that dairy producers are allowed to market each day. And that can grow over time or as they have need, but at any point in time, they're not allowed to sell any more into the market than what their quota is. And, of course, to be able to protect a system like that from the outside, in other words, the U.S. would be happy to supply milk and dairy products to Canada, they have to have pretty steep tariffs to restrict that product from being able to come in.
So if I'm a dairy farmer in Canada, has that meant more stable prices for me?
Their prices have been both more stable and higher than U.S. prices. Canada is really kind of an outlier in the world where dairy products are produced in any kind of volume. Their system is a bit different than a lot of people's system is, but it has kept their milk prices higher and more stable.
If I'm a Canadian consumer, does this mean I'm paying more for milk, cheese, other dairy products?
It does. In general, consumer prices for those products are higher in Canada. I know you'll find some folks that would argue that they aren't, but in fact they are. When you look at the retail prices, they're maybe 25% higher than what our domestic prices are here.
Do you know what popular opinion is on this dairy program in Canada? I've heard there's at least some controversy about it up there.
Within Canada?
Within Canada.
Oh, sure. Within Canada, there is some controversy about it. You know, understand that at these relatively high prices, farms can be profitable. And so that, as I mentioned earlier, is a market signal telling you we want more of your product, but they can't produce and deliver more of their product. So that becomes a frustration. For those folks for whom it's been too large a frustration, we've had a few Canadian dairy farmers over the years that have relocated down into the U.S. simply because they wanted the ability to produce more milk.
Bringing things back to the United States now, are there changes, maybe short of doing something like Canada, that could lead to more stability and predictability for dairy farmers?
Well, there are things that can be done. I mean, you could consider going all the way to a Canadian-style system. I think that that's going to be very divisive between farmers here in this state and across the country. So if it's divisive, I think it's going to be very hard to push something like that through Congress. But short of that, there are things that can be done as well. Really, what you need to do is to coordinate this supply chain a little bit more to let people know and understand what's going on and how do we maybe moderate our enthusiasm when we get really high prices for that. You can do that maybe by tempering some of those price peaks. In other words, not having the prices become as high as they were in a year like 2014. But in so doing, you probably forego some of the lows that you have after a time period like that.
Yeah, who puts their finger on the scale, though, and says we're going to moderate those high-end prices?
Well, we have price discovery that happens with federal milk marketing orders in most parts of the country, certainly here in the upper Midwest. And that's a place where this discovered price through a federal milk marketing order could be altered so that it didn't capture quite that much height and maybe would not allow quite such a low either. And so in doing that, moderating this, you might have prices that were not as fluctuating and long persistent lows like we've seen right now to dairy farmers.
With the current price fluctuations and these long-term low prices, does this bias toward a larger dairy farm doing better? If I've got a larger operation, my per unit cost, I get an economy of scale, I'm better able to survive these low prices?
We have seen that. When you look at dairy farms, we find profitable dairy farms in all farm sizes. We also find unprofitable dairy farms in all farm sizes. And one of the critiques that I often hear is that people hear the words out of a mouth that says bigger is better. And we don't actually believe that. What we think is that better is better. If you're a better dairy cow handler, if you are a better manager of your labor force and people, if you're a better financial planner and manager, then you're greater success. And with that, you have both, again, the incentive and the wherewithal to become a larger dairy farm. So to some extent, I think that larger dairy farms have been selected from the better farms.
If a policymaker came to you and said, Mark, what can we do to keep maybe some of these smaller farms in business in these rural communities that don't have a lot of employers, this might be a big driver of their local economy. What would you say to them?
I think there are several things that we could probably think about doing. And some of those become differential programs. So, in other words, we wouldn't want to provide the same stimulus to all of our dairy industry because some will react more strongly than others. In other words, it used to be easier. When we had a problem, the whole dairy industry had a problem. Today, when we have a problem, maybe only part of the dairy industry has a problem. So providing a solution for everybody is not necessarily a good thing. We would have to have this differential easing of prices, I guess, to some of our smaller farms.
Now, I know, I don't know if this is still in the new farm bill. There used to be those value-added grants that aimed at helping farmers diversify, maybe not rely on the swings of commodity prices. Is that something that's out there? Is it something that's an opportunity for dairy farmers to maybe, instead of just selling, you know, the milk, to sell cheese or butter or other value-added product?
Well, sure, it can be. And we do talk with producers all the time who are thinking about going into value added. But I'm cautious about that. I mean, one of the first things I do is to just throw buckets of cold water at somebody. And if there's still steam coming off afterward, then let's talk about it a little more. And the reason is value added is hard. You're taking on an entirely new enterprise now to produce the product and especially marketing the product. That's not something that farmers are used to doing.
Do you have any reason to believe that milk prices are going to find their way back up in the short run on their own?
Oh, I think this problem will correct itself, and I don't think that we ought to be necessarily jumping at a solution right now because today's prices are low and have been low for a period of time. The market will correct itself. But I do think it's very legitimate for us to think longer term and say, can we do something that keeps us from getting into these positions for a prolonged period of time? And I think the answer to that is yes, we have ideas.
We'll leave it there for now. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
That's Mark Stevenson, Dairy Policy Analyst and Director of the UW Center for Dairy Profitability. He's with us to talk about issues with the American milk pricing system and other pricing models used by countries like Canada.